A very scary and disturbing trend is currently happening in the glamping industry that I don't hear anyone talking about. At 4:40 a.m. at the Happy Retro Vacations glamp site, a fire broke out, killing one and sending three to the hospital. The guests were staying in vintage Airstreams built in the 1950s. At 2 p.m. on a Monday in Ullswater Heights, fire crews fought to put out a blaze that burned through multiple glamping tents. Luckily, no one was harmed. A fire began in a cloth tent in Yeongju, Korea, because of a gas heater in the middle of a wooden floor. The fire consumed the tent in a matter of minutes. In today's episode, I have a 9-year veteran of the FDNY talking to us specifically about glamping businesses and the dangers that come with it. He also tells us how we can mitigate risks, make it easier for firefighters to protect themselves and others when they come to our locations, who could potentially financially be at fault if a fire were to occur at your glamp site, as well as what are the hidden dangers that us regular common people aren't familiar with. This is the Keep It Tiny podcast, where I like to focus on the business side of glamping businesses and unique structures. Let me know your name, your occupation, and kind of a little bit more about yourself.
My name's Patrice. I'm a firefighter, and I've been a firefighter for 9 years.
9 years? Okay. And have you ever gone glamping or stayed at any unique destinations before?
Yes, I've been to your glamping site.
Okay.
I've been to getaway cabins in the Adirondacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to an A-frame cabin in Maryland.
Okay, so you're not just a scholar or some brute that I picked up off the streets.
No.
You've been in the FDNY for 9 years.
Yes.
And you also actually go glamping on your own.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so I believe that you have a unique skill set in your day job, and you enjoy a unique hobby, which is glamping. So I have some questions prepared, and I think you can answer them in ways that a lot of us aren't thinking about. Because the first thing I think about is, when you stayed at all those places, was there any fire safety told to you? Did they let you even know where the fire extinguishers could be or what to do in case of an emergency?
I feel like it probably was
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the fine print or somewhere in the guidebook,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't evident.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
in your face evident, which most people need.
Exactly. I feel like when people talk about communication, it's less of what you said and more of how the other person received it.
Absolutely.
So if the fire safety information is there, but no one reads it or no one sees it or it's in small print,
then you never communicated it.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, how can glamping business owners make it easier for the fire department to do their job if things go bad? Because that helps the fire department get the job done. And safely, because mm-hmm. what we don't think about is we are literally putting you guys' life at risk. Like, you guys are the ones that have to storm the beach, so to speak. So how can we make your lives easier, but also how can we protect our assets?
Yeah.
Because if my glamp site goes up in fire, I lose out too. So no one wants this to really happen.
Yeah.
So is there things that we could do to make your lives easier?
The biggest thing I would say is to keep things to code. And if you're going to change something or renovate it, definitely update the city or township
mm-hmm.
in your area. But keeping things to code and getting permits and doing things legally, because when we go into a fire, like, a lot of the times, the visibility is not there at all.
Yeah.
So we have, when we train, we have a general idea of the occupancy that we're going to, and we have certain things we do specific to where the fire is going to be. So now, let's just say that if there's a fire at your glamp site
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you register with the city knows what's going on. And so now we kind of prepare for that in a way. But now if you do like a renovation or do some oddball construction to it,
mm-hmm.
now we have no clue.
Yeah.
You know, we're expecting one thing, but now when we're there in the thick of it, we're experiencing another.
Yeah.
It can throw us off.
Yeah.
So that could be probably the biggest thing.
Okay, cool.
And make sure like your markings are there, like...
Like exit signs or...
Your address.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing like people overlook, where they'll like buy something online that's aesthetically pleasing, but then we can't see it at nighttime.
Yeah.
Because it isn't reflective. There's no light element to it,
mm-hmm.
but it looks nice during the day.
That happens a lot at a lot of these glamp sites. And I think mine included. You know, the sign that says the street address and the name of the glamp site, it's very aesthetically pleasing. There's some reflecting items on it, but maybe we should think about even would adding lights to it help or like...
Absolutely. Okay. Or having something, if you want to keep the aesthetics, having something for night specifically,
mm-hmm.
like maybe it charges during the day and then it turned on at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or so now you could have the aesthetics during the day, but then something that's very practical at night. Because a big issue that we come into sometimes is that we can't see the address.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a call for 320 Park Place, and we're going by, we see 310, we see 312, and then we're looking for 320, and it's not clearly marked.
Yeah.
So then that's a delay.
That wastes precious time.
Exactly.
Yeah. At a glamp site, do you think the risk is on the glamping business owner or the guest? Like, which one is, you know, more of a scary thing that could cause problems?
Definitely the guest.
Yeah.
Because the guest is the biggest variable, because everybody's different. But ultimately, the responsibility is on the glamp site owner or operator.
Got you. Because it's up to them to, because it's almost like those people are guests, right? We brought them out into the woods. We brought them into these kind of dangerous situations, mm-hmm. and then it's up to us. So one of the things that I'm always worried about is fire. My glamp site it's a stick-built wooden A-frame with like just metal siding. Is it true that my glamp site, which is stick-built, like made of wood, is it more flammable? Like, is that actually a thing? Is it more flammable than something that is a container home, which is just metal outsides?
Definitely. So fire now in like our times is definitely like it's changing, and it's gotten like a little tricky,
mm-hmm.
because wood nowadays isn't made how it was made in the past.
Okay.
So it's a lot more flammable and a lot less resistant to fire.
Really?
But traditionally, when we think of starting fires, we think of wood, but actually like plastics.
Okay.
Are the most flammable thing, because most plastics are petroleum-based.
Okay.
So, like, and there's plastic in everything. Like,
yeah.
Our clothes, the furniture in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, your wooden frame cabin probably, I mean, obviously, wood is flammable, but I think the things that are in your wood frame cabin are the things that are the most flammable.
Yeah. Okay. And let's talk about when my cabin was at its most dangerous. And I think that you actually stayed there because you were one of the earlier people when I had a propane heater inside of the cabin. I don't have that now. It's extremely dangerous. And I don't think any actual guests stayed there. No. Only friends and family stayed there during that time period.
You're still trying to figure it out.
I was definitely still trying to figure it out. Can you put into perspective just how dangerous that is? Because it was a literal fire, like a combustible fire being fueled by a propane tank outside of the cabin. How much of a risk is that? Like, what could be the things that could go bad?
All right. There's a lot of things that could go
slow
bad,
down.
But I'll take it one by one. All right. One, I think the biggest risk to that, not the most evident, but mm-hmm. I think the biggest risk to that is just the CO,
mm-hmm.
or the fumes that come from, like, not all combustion is perfect.
Okay.
So, like, the results of, like, not 100% combustion.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it releases CO, and that is probably the most dangerous.
And what does CO do to you? It releases CO into the room. What does CO do?
It stops your blood from absorbing oxygen.
So you suffocate.
Exactly.
Yikes.
So, yeah, I think that would probably be the most dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you have an open flame there. That's the most obvious part. So things catching on fire, like clothes,
mm-hmm.
probably people getting close to it, or just like burns, people touching like the metal grating.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I'm putting myself out there, and these are all issues that I've fixed or worked on, but I don't think people talk about this type of stuff. People try to pretend to be perfect. So let's talk about some more dangers, and let's talk about my cabin in particular. The campfire is right behind the cabin. It is an open window in the back. It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The campfire is right there.
Yeah.
I'm always nervous someone's going to light the fire, go inside and view it from outside and maybe fall asleep or something.
Yeah.
How dangerous is falling asleep with a campfire still going on? Because, like, does the fire just, like, jump out and, like, start walking around? Like, what is the problems there?
I think any fire unattended is dangerous.
Okay.
And I would never recommend anyone. They even say, you know, you should never leave your candle.
Okay.
Even if you're walking, you know, going to the store or going to the,
mm-hmm.
making a quick run or something like that. But I think, the biggest danger to that is if things are, like, I think there's nothing with your cabin specifically, I don't think there's anything wrong with going in and viewing it from the inside.
Okay.
As long as you don't
fall asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're just inside and you're just looking at the cabin, I think there's nothing wrong with it. I think the biggest things are what's close to that fire, what's in the proximity of that fire. So if you put your chair up close while you were outside just to get warm, now when you're going inside, make sure you pull that chair back away from it.
Because it could slowly start to heat up and then
exactly.
go. Yeah. Okay. And I'm also always afraid of other people doing this and me doing this personally. How would you, firefighter for 9 years, put out a campfire? I want to just know, just because I'm always scared. I always look at the fire and be like, did I do enough? Mm-hmm. Is it really out? Like, yeah. That's my biggest fear.
Definitely the first thing I would do is just copious amounts of water. Mm-hmm. And then also it just depends. You know, cause I've been there, you have a wood burning, like stove.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Or fire pit. Mm-hmm. But, so with a wood burning stove or fire pit or something like that, just copious amounts of water.
Yeah.
And just make sure that wood is saturated with the water. That's the only thing you have to do for that. And make sure like there's no burning remaining, like burning embers.
Okay.
But now if you have like a gas-fed fire pit or something like that,
yeah,
definitely don't put water on it because now the gas will just be coming out.
Okay, okay. So with the gas-fed fire pits, just turn the gas off.
Exactly.
With a regular wood-fired ton of water.
Turn the gas off first, then water.
Okay, okay. And let's talk about fire extinguishers. Because me, myself, I've never used one. And I hope I never have to.
Yes.
But I also don't know how to use one. Mm-hmm. And I think most people don't know how to use one. So there is a fire extinguisher available inside of my A-frame cabin. But what is the proper way of using a fire extinguisher? Like, push comes to shove, backs up against the wall, fire extinguisher in my hand. I don't even know what's the first thing to do. So can you talk to me about that?
I think the first thing I feel like that the glamp site owner can do is I feel like a lot of people think that you put the extinguisher where the fire may happen. And I think that's like a misconception because if the fire is there, you know what I mean? You may not be able to access the fire extinguisher.
Yeah. Don't put the fire extinguisher right next to the gas oven or the gas stove that could go up in flames.
Exactly. Because now you may not be able to access the only thing you can use to put out the fire. So make sure it's in like... not a remote area, but somewhere that's away from the fire that people can access it despite a fire happening. And second, when people get it, there's usually a zip tie on it. And you just got to break the zip tie. And there's usually a pin. You just pull the pin. And before you start spraying it, just make sure you grab the nozzle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you just... aim for the base of the fire. Like, don't hit the flames. Like, if there's like a fire started on the ground and then now it's spreading up on the wall or something like that, you start from the base. Yeah, not where the most evident amount of fire is.
Here's something for you. Let's be honest. You've seen my glamp site. It's about 150 square feet, right? There's all these vintage campers out there, tiny homes, tents, etc. These are small spaces. So, is there even a point of my guest, if things go awry, to even try to battle this fire? Or should they grab their items, shut the door behind them, and run away and call 911, obviously, as soon as possible? Like, is it worth even trying to battle a fire in these small spaces? Like, what is the probability of someone actually being able to put it out and then still call 911, I assume? But, like, should they even try to battle or should they just leave?
I think so, definitely.
What, they should try to battle?
Absolutely. If there's a fire extinguisher that's clearly marked in an accessible place, definitely. Because I feel like, you know, obviously, I feel like the majority of people are more capable than, you know, we think or that they would think.
I don't think I'm capable at all.
You know, and if, and usually, you know, fire, it doesn't just go from small fire. It may go from small fire to, you know, full-blown, fully developed fire quickly. But, you know, usually there's time to mitigate it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, and that's why we teach fire safety in schools, you know? So I feel like if they could grab that fire extinguisher, pull the pin, try to put it out themselves, definitely.
Definitely. And then still call 911 right after?
Absolutely. Or if they're with somebody, have them call 911 while they're doing that.
Okay.
Because, yeah. Because you'll, you're not going to stay in a place that's burning, you know?
Yeah, so they know when to call it.
Yeah, I feel like the fleeing part in the beginning may not be the biggest thing. Okay. I think, like, you know, try to put it out. But if you can, then you just got to go.
There's a couple things that I would never put inside of my glamping business, and I've never put inside of any of my short-term rentals. Because, like you said, my biggest fear is the guest. Because mm-hmm. most guests are there to have a good time.
Yeah.
They're not thinking safety, yeah. nor are they even, like, if they'll break your couch, you really think that they won't leave a candle unattended? So that is one of my biggest things. I would never leave any type of candle. I'm even on the fence about any type of lighters, whether it be for incense or anything of the sort. Is there anything else that you think, like, is a big danger to people who are just having a good time? And would you agree with me to never leave a candle or even give them access to a candle inside of my short-term rentals?
I definitely agree. I feel like you have to account for the most logical person that may stay in mm-hmm. your glamp site and the least logical person that may stay in your glamp site. So, yeah, definitely anything, any open flames. Like, I think candles are probably the biggest thing because you turn them on and you forget about them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, your fire element is outside. So me personally, if I have a glamping site, mm-hmm. which are usually in remote areas, I wouldn't put any fire element indoors. I would keep everything outside, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And anecdotally speaking, a lot of your jobs, what are the fire, like, what causes the most amount of fires? Or what do you see a lot of?
It's usually like electrical.
Electrical?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I work in the city, so
yeah,
it might be different, but it's usually electrical mm-hmm. issues, like whether it's bad work, old wiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And one of the things I'm afraid of is that how remote my glamp site is. So should we work in tandem with the local fire department? Should we reach out to them? Should we make sure that they know where we are or where our guests are? Should I leave my guests their phone number? Like, what should I do to protect my business and to protect my guests against fire?
I think one of the biggest things you could do is just make it evident. Like, I feel like obviously you have to factor in aesthetics of your place,
mm-hmm.
but like, if you have a fire extinguisher, like a sign, like an mm-hmm. evident sign, like, you ever see those arrows? You ever go into a place and there's an arrow down at the fire extinguisher?
Yeah.
It's for a reason, because I think those are reflective.
Mm-hmm.
So now if there's a fire and there's smoke, you can see, like, the light will reflect off of it. So now you know, all right, the fire extinguisher is there. So, like, I guess kind of putting aesthetic aside
yeah.
and make it evident where that fire extinguisher is.
Where the fire extinguisher is. And what about, should they just straight up call 911 or
yes,
should they?
Yes, definitely. Just 911.
Yeah. Like, don't even worry about reaching out to the fire department.
No.
Or anything of the sort.
911 okay. is the quickest okay. thing to do.
And how do you stay calm when there's a fire happening? Like, has there ever been, have things ever gone awry for you on the job?
Yeah, definitely. One thing that jumps to my mind, one story is, it was actually a lady. It was during Christmas time. She was wrapping gifts and she had a candle mm-hmm. lit and she was like in a nightgown. And she like turned her back. I guess the presents were on the couch and the candle was on the coffee table. So she was wrapping the gifts on the couch. And then as she turned around, her nightgown caught, the candle caught her nightgown.
Okay.
And then it set her nightgown on fire. And then, she took off the nightgown and threw it on the couch, which set the couch on fire. And then she just ran out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing she did was she went downstairs and spoke to building maintenance or the people in the building. And the first thing they did was go up with a fire extinguisher and try to put it out. So that's a lot. But to backtrack on all the things that they could have did different and to add to your guess, mm-hmm. which fire safety is, I guess if you're by a fire, don't wear like light material
mm-hmm.
like silk nightgowns mm-hmm. and things
yeah,
like
those
that.
Are like loose and flowy that move on their own and they could catch things
exactly. And like, you know, we don't think about it, but our clothes, like a lot of like our clothes has like microplastics in
mm-hmm.
it, like polyester and things like that
mm-hmm.
and so those things catch fire quickly
mm-hmm.
and Yeah, so just be careful of like when you're around an open flame, not to get close to the clothes that you're wearing. But yeah, so that was the first thing. And then she threw her nightgown on the couch, which a lot of our furniture nowadays, there's tons of plastic. Exactly, yeah. Because there's, and you would think like a couch would take a while. But no, like a couch, mattresses, that's another thing we get a lot, mattress fires, because people smoke on their mattresses and they fall asleep. The cigarette falls on the mattress.
Yeah.
And the mattress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goes on fire.
So I guess that gives a lot of credence to what I said about candles. Like candles to me, I think is something because it's very aesthetic. It's aesthetically pleasing, especially if you give them a fancy, expensive candle. It sets the tone. You know, you're trying to charge people $100, $150 a night to sleep out in the middle of the woods. So it's like, let's give them a vibe. But I guess candles really can bite you in the butt because it seems like that's a lot of it where it's like, situations can go from good to very bad very quickly because of a candle, because of that open flame.
Absolutely. Definitely. It's just the curveball of you don't know who your guest is, you know? So while candles add a lot of aesthetic, you also have diffusers, which take the flame out. You know, you can still add that smell, but with none of the hazard of an open flame at all.
Yeah, yeah. And about that story with the candle and the woman who tossed it and threw it on the couch, did you go and fight that fire?
Yes.
How did that play out for you guys?
So, yeah, so just to backtrack again. So she threw her gown on the couch. Now the couch goes on fire. And then so now the first thing she did, maybe she didn't have her phone, but the first thing she did was she spoke to building maintenance. And so now when she goes to the front desk, instead of calling 911 right away, they tried to put it out themselves. And so now the fire is progressing and they go in. By the time they go up, the fire has progressed where a fire extinguisher can't put it out. And so now they finally call us. And now when we get there, it's like the situation is advanced
out of control.
Greatly. And and then that fire was it extended to the hallway and actually burnt a firefighter really bad and it actually burnt me bad because it was a metal door. I remember trying to go in, touching the metal door and then like it just burning.
So, I mean, were you perfectly fine though? Like, you know, just like a minor burn or?
No, it was second degree burns.
Okay.
I didn't feel it at first.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, because of the adrenaline. And then as soon as it was done, I go downstairs and then I just feel like a sharp pain in my wrist. And at first I second-guessed myself because nothing happened. Like there was no like evident burn on my wrist, but then over time, like it just bubbled up.
So it burned another firefighter real bad.
Yes.
You got second degree burn.
He had to get skin grafts.
Wow. And this all started because of a candle.
Because of a candle.
That wasn't even unattended.
No.
She was in the room with the candle.
Exactly.
And it did all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's a lesson we learned.
It endangered the people on her floor, in her hallway, above.
All because, and candles are purely aesthetic. It's not like she was cooking to survive or something along those lines. Okay. Now, let's talk about gas grills. Okay. I know that you work in New York City. There might not be a lot of gas grills or barbecue fires or anything of that sort. But can you talk to me about the dangers of barbecuing, of cooking? Because at my glamp site, in many glamp sites, it's all about either cooking over an open flame outside or cooking on charcoal or a gas grill or something of the sort. Is that particularly dangerous in and of itself? Or do people do dangerous things around them? Or is it not even something to really worry about because the way that the stoves are sold and prepared and created, it's really not as dangerous as one would think?
No, definitely. There's still, anytime you're dealing with an open flame, there's always danger. So gas, I would think maybe gas is a little more dangerous because you have that gas element and a lot of gas you can't, obviously gas you can't see. So people may just forget, leave the gas on. And so with gas grills, your glamping site, you have it perfect where it's not next to anything. I like a lot of people put like their grills, whether it's gas or charcoal or wood, against
The back wall or
which is dangerous, obviously. And so just keep it, if you can, just keep it away from anything. Obviously wear like, just, they don't have to be heavy clothes, but not super light clothes. And then I guess just make sure that you turn off that gas. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are just like, all right, fire's off, but then they don't shut off the gas. Mm-hmm. And that may be running, and then that accumulates.
Yeah.
And gas, people, I guess people think a lot of times like you have to have like an open flame or a big match or fire to set off gas. Gas can be set off by just switching on a light fixture.
Yeah. I thought that was just in movies.
No, it's real.
Really?
If there's enough gas
built up,
an oxygen mixer, it needs oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an explosion basically by just turning on the light.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously no gas inside.
No,
because then it can build up very easily.
I mean, but there are gas stoves inside. But
okay. Yeah. Okay.
You just have to be careful of that.
Hmm. And if I were to call you and say, hey, I'm building this glamp site, based off of our conversation today, I should not put the barbecue grill or anything next to a wall. I should not have a candle or an open flame inside. I should watch out for CO and things of that nature. Should I get a barbecue grill? A gas grill? Like, is there one that's safer than the other, or does it not even matter?
I would think gas is safer.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a lot of like when you're, you know, when you're dealing with open flame, there's nothing you can control.
Yeah.
So like you may turn on the propane gas, but until you turn the switch of that particular burner,
mm-hmm.
the gas won't flow out.
Yeah.
It'll still be in the line leading up to the burner, but it won't flow out. So that's like a check and a balance that they do when they manufacture gas stoves. But obviously, just a wood burning stove is, you know,
okay. Less. And forest fires. We've seen a lot of it, but it seems like more than used to, but maybe I was just a kid and I don't remember it, but it seems like in modern day, forest fires is a large problem. Can you talk to me of how they start? Is there something that naturally draws it out, or is it just area dependent? Just because I'm always nervous about that my guests could start a forest fire. I'm here in New York. I always hear forest fires happening a lot in like North California or something along those lines. So is it region specific? Should I not be as worried as I am?
It's definitely region specific. And I don't doubt it happens in upstate New York where mm-hmm. yours is located. But I'm sure a California firefighter could answer this question
better. Yeah, better equipped to answer the question, but yeah.
Definitely. But it's definitely, from my limited knowledge, it's definitely from just the time of year, area specific, like what kind of environment is it? Like, is it a dry, arid
mm-hmm.
environment? Like usually places with high moisture,
mm-hmm.
that's not really something that you have to be too worried about.
Mm-hmm.
The season. You know, is it the summer, the dead of the summer where everything is dried out and the air is dry and the foliage is dry? I feel like definitely like raking. Like, so for your glamp site, you don't have many trees by there, but like raking the leaves
mm-hmm.
in the area of like the immediate area of your glamp site mm-hmm. would definitely help.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think there's always have to worry, but I don't think there's much for you to worry. It's always, I think, the most frequent thing is user error.
Okay.
Where it's like people just leaving the fire unattended. Like with wood, that's what I was saying, with wood and gas. So with gas, the gas is what feeds the fire. But with wood burning stoves or fire pits, it's the wood. The wood is the fuel for the fire. So, but with wood, you get the embers.
Mm-hmm.
And embers
that jump out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Embers pop out from the log. And those are things that you have to be worried about. So now if it's dead of the summer, the air is dry, the foliage is dry, the grass is dry, and now like you didn't maybe rake your leaves or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now an ember pops out.
Yeah.
Then the gas, or it might set off a leaf, and then the leaf sets off the grass, and then things progress from there.
Now, I know you're a firefighter. It's not like you are a fire detective or something along those lines, but can you talk to me about who is on the hook? If someone were to stay at my glamp site and they were to cause a fire and the fire were to start a forest fire or would go on, am I on the hook? Are they on the hook? Is there an investigation that's had? Again, I know you're not a fire detective or what have you, but I'm curious about those types of things because I'm curious about what risk I'm putting myself in. So do you have any ideas on that?
I have very basic
knowledge
on that because I'm not on the investigative side. But It would depend on how the fire started. Now, if it was, let's just say you didn't have a fire extinguisher at your glamp site. Mm-hmm. Let's just keep it basic. You didn't have a fire extinguisher at your glamp site, and you know, things happen, mistakes happen, something happened and things caught on fire. And now the guest or, you know, your neighbors or anybody in the immediate area were hurt because mm-hmm. of the fire extended and there was no way to put it out immediately, you would be liable. Mm-hmm. But now if you had everything in place where it was, you had everything you needed for the fire pit, it was the proper distance from anything flammable.
Yeah.
You had a fire extinguisher. It was clearly marked. It was serviced and up to date. He technically wouldn't be liable.
Okay. Yeah. But so would there be an investigation every time?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for real? Okay.
Unless the person, like the victim or the person that was there for the fire mm-hmm. was just like, hey, this is what happened. This is what I was doing. And they were in like...
It's clearly their fault.
Yeah. And they were like in a good headspace and a clear state of mind. Because that's another thing you have to factor into. Like if it's a night of drinking and then mm-hmm. they're telling you a story where it's just like, all right, well, maybe their version of the story may not be exactly how it happened.
Okay. And then I personally think that there's things that are safer to be your structure for a glamp site and there's things that are less safe. Like the things that worries me is when people revamp vintage campers. Mm-hmm. Just because some of them are like, were made in the 1930s, the 1940s, the 1950s, and they look cool, they look retro, but I always worry about the electrical work that was done in the 40s and 50s. And on top of that, I worry about the electrical work that was done when it went bad in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and they got old Bill down the street to come wire it up. So do you think that that is as big as an issue, or do you think there's other things that could be more of an issue?
In terms of campers?
In terms of vintage campers, electrical work, maybe gas, heating, just those small structures where it seems like a lot of the work was done in the old days and a lot of the work to revamp them is done by a lot of DIY people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's definitely the biggest thing where it's how old something is. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we think that because things were done back in the day, they mm-hmm. were more quality, but I don't think that translates to every trade.
Okay.
You know, so, and I think electrical is one of those situations where like old wiring, old electric needs to be replaced and updated.
Okay.
And I think that could definitely be, I think, because most of our fires start from electrical issues.
Okay.
So I think that's definitely probably the biggest situation.
Okay, cool. And that's actually why when I upgraded my site to from off the grid to getting electric work done, I purposely didn't go with the cheapest person, and I purposely went with that individual who was like, look, I'm certified, I'm insured, I'll handle all the paperwork with the city and that type of stuff. So it seems like that's actually like the silent killer that we're not thinking about. Because I know with myself, I'm nervous about open flame, fire, boom, boom, bam. But it seems like I need to be worried about CO2, CO. It seems like I need to be worried about electrical work. It seems like there's other things that really, not even the fire itself, but the embers that could jump off from a wood-fired situation. Those are the things I need to be thinking about more.
Yeah, definitely. So even in the city, there's a big trend of the city, they're not building any new buildings going up. There aren't gas stoves anymore. They're trying to eliminate gas.
Okay.
You know, reasonably, gas usage in a building because mm-hmm. it's just very, it's been a cause of a lot of fires and things like that. So, like, people leaving just the gas on. And now, just like I said earlier, where you just turn on a light switch might cause an explosion. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of gas explosions in the city. But, like, things like gas, you have to be worried about things like electric. Old electric work, who's doing the electric work, mm-hmm. things like that are concerns where it's not necessarily always the most obvious, like you said, in terms of like open flame.
And how fast, and I don't want to, I'm a regular man, all right? I don't want to make fire sound cool, but how fast does fire, like, does it really just light up or is it really as powerful as they say, so to speak?
Absolutely. And that's to take it back to that story I was telling you about the lady who the fire started while mm-hmm. she was wrapping her gifts. Mm-hmm. A big thing that happened was, aside from her, throwing the gown on a couch, where mm-hmm. preferably she should have threw it on the floor, but obviously,
yeah,
it's in the thick of things. You're not thinking about that. That's not her fault at all. But what she could have done to protect everyone, us, herself, everyone else, her neighbors in the building, was close the door.
Yeah.
Okay. Or when the maintenance came up, they left the door open too. So they just closing the door, because fire, to answer your question, fire, it develops rapidly, quick.
Yeah.
As long as there's fuel to feed it.
So, and that air is feeding the fire?
Exactly. So there's two things it needs. It needs something like to combust, right? Like,
yeah.
Whether it's like, you know, like our clothes or mm-hmm. like furniture or things like that, or wood. But then it also needs oxygen.
Okay.
So if it has those two elements, mm-hmm. then it'll take off rapidly. So like leaving a window open and a yeah. door open will feed it oxygen. And then now you have all the furniture, which is the fuel that's going to burn.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, if you just close the door. Mm-hmm. So now then there's no oxygen, or there's no path okay. of flow for oxygen.